Afghanistan is looking at you. We don't know who it is, but it's okay. Good to see. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time as we come before you. May your word bring forth power. May you also bring healing to those who are sick. I know of a sister that is still coughing after a month. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray in the name of Jesus you heal her, take away the cough, set her free from that irritation to the throat. And for those of us who are not well, who are just struggling with things at work, even for myself, the things that we need to deal with, Father, we know that as we come before you, you are a God that will help us. We come before you and we are able to leave all our burdens at the cross and walk away a free person without worries, knowing that you are for us. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for those who have come back safely from US. We thank you for those who are traveling. Watch over all the people of this church. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. As usual, we have an opportunity to get someone to come and share. Today, we have TG. So can I just welcome TG to come? Can we just welcome him? Heavyweight.
Hi. Good evening. You know, I can talk, but I can't speak. I always tell people this. You know, I don't know whether you know what I mean. Right, so Daniel, a couple of weeks ago, I think 3 weeks ago, called me and said, hey, 17, you're going to give testimony. I said, fine, no problem. And I actually spoke to God. I said, God, what do you want me to share? Right, so actually along the way, things changed. You know, and I think one thing about it, when you continue to speak to God, right, God speaks to you in a lot of ways. And I asked God, so what do you want? So God said, you know, share about your life and encourage people and also give glory to his name. So I said, okay, fine. So I just want to share some history about myself, right? So I accepted Christ in 1989 in school during a Christian fellowship. You know, it was the best moment of my life. And one of the things that, you know, I always remember and I always hold dear to it is that this song called Little by Little. You know, the song like, Jesus is changing me every day, right? Little by little. And indeed, I've seen over the last 30 years of my life that Jesus is changing me, right? The few stories I'm going to share with you, one of it happened in about year 2001. You know, 2001, you know, I was very new in my career. I started, you know, I left KPMG and I joined an oil and gas service company in 1999. Then I move up the ranks. I joined as a chief controller. I got promoted to regional controller. And then in somewhere in June 2021, my boss said, hey, you know what? I'm going to move out of Singapore to London. And the guy who's going to come here is actually from Argentina. He's American from Argentina. And now they're looking for a controller for South America to be based out of Buenos Aires. Okay? You know, and he says that actually we have shortlisted you. So actually I was excited. And the package was revealed to me close to $20,000. I was so excited, right? But the thing is, I asked God, God, is this what you want for me, right? And as I prayed, God gave me Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I said, God, what do you mean? Seek him, right? And, you know, over the course of that week when I was praying, God said, Argentina is not for you. Okay, I'm going to be emotional because it was emotional. So I said, God, if really this is from you, I need confirmation. And then that week in church, there was a sermon. And I remember very clearly, it was an invited pastor and he was talking about the year of the Jubilee. And, you know, as he was sharing about it, he went back. And you cross-reference, you know, because I think when you hear of Jubilee, you basically don't work, right? You know, we know Sabbath, right? Jubilee is actually the seventh of the seven, right? Where you basically don't work 2 years. And basically, God will provide. And the guy referenced again, seek ye first the kingdom. I was like, whoa. You know, I was overwhelmed. You know, I teared. And I said, God, sure or not? And I remember that very well because Monday to Thursday, Friday, the following week, I was going to Alosta for training. For children's ministry, a very powerful ministry in Alosta, so I went because I was in the children's ministry. And Friday is their weekend. If you know Kedah, three states in Malaysia where they observe Friday as a weekend, Kelantan, Terengganu, and Kedah. So on Friday, it was their weekend service, and then the pastor was preaching. Honestly, I cannot remember the topic. And then I says, okay, God, I don't think this is going to happen. And then, you know, like those who are in some churches where they've got intercessor, right? And by the way, the intercessors were children. Because it's a very powerful children's church. The intercessors were children. And then the pastor went up there and says, I don't know, I know this is for you, for somebody here, but for someone seeking direction, Matthew 6:33 was read. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I teared. I said, God, I will obey you. You know, I didn't put that verse, but the next verse that came to my mind was Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, not lean on your own understanding. So I said, God, I'll obey. I'll reject this attractive offer. But God is faithful. Because November or December that year, if those of you all in the financial industry will know, Argentina's economy collapsed. There were rioting on the streets. You know, there were looting, all sorts of things that you can imagine. The country went in chaos. By the way, just to share some background, Argentina pegged their currency, one peso to one US dollar, in the 90s. Into 2001, they still pegged it. And when they released it on one day, it was controlled. So those who know currency, it's actually the government control. Like Malaysia, 3.8 is controlled, 1.4. They adjusted it to 1.4. But subsequently, when they opened it, it went to 5. Okay, so imagine the currency collapsed 80%. Looting on the streets, political unrest, 5 presidents. If you go and read back, 5 presidents in the month of December itself. So much unrest. And when I saw that on news, I know straight away, this is what I was spared. Okay, so you know, I remember that's God's faithfulness. Okay, then to me it's like I always say, give thanks in all circumstances. You know, Matthew, I put up there, right? Matthew, you know, whatever you ask in prayer, believing you will receive. Really, ask any small thing. So the second one thing that I want to share with you was back in 2012. You know, Joshua is born in 2012, right? I was in a new company, and 1 week before he was born, my boss said, there's a problem in China, please go to China now. So I told my boss, my wife is expecting anytime, my son is due 26, I cannot go. But he says, no, you have to go, because I need to make a report to audit committee that we have done so and so in China. So I said, okay, I'll do it, but if the moment my wife calls me that my wife is going to labor, I'll come back. He says, okay. So I actually laid hands on my wife's stomach and I said, Joshua, Papa has to go to work. Wait for me. I'll come back next week. And seriously, you know, simple thing, right? I prayed. I came back on a Saturday. No, I came back on Saturday night, very late. So Sunday, you know, I actually prayed again. I said, Joshua, thank you for waiting. Anytime now, you can come. Next day, my wife went on labor. No, to me, it's like, you know, I think we don't, I don't take things for granted. I always believe that, you know, you can ask God, and I tell you, he will answer you in 3 ways, right? Yes, no, or maybe, right? But I know that if you believe with all your heart, you will receive, right? And therefore, you know, I simple thing. So the last one, I don't want to take too much time. The last one was more recently, in January 2020, 17 January 2022. I'll share with you. Can you not show this first? Okay, so what happened was, you know, we all took COVID jabs. Sometime in May last year, you know, I remember I felt a chest pain, you know, and so happened that evening when I was feeling a chest pain, CNA said, oh, you know, one of the side effects of the COVID jab is myocarditis, which is actually inflammation of the heart. So I went to my GP, I said, I think I may have got this. Can you check? So she did a blood test for some inflammation and says, 1 week later, say, no, it's nothing to do with your heart. you don't have inflammation, so it's fine. And what happened was, you know, life goes on as usual, but occasionally I feel funny, you know. And I actually told this to my doctor. Say, what do you do? I say, I feel funny, I do. And after that, I was okay. All right, but I didn't feel easy, and I believe it's God's prompting. Sometime in October that year, last year, I went to my GP and said, can you do me a favor? Give me a referral letter to see a cardiologist. I don't know where I'm going, but I will go. Okay, so she gave me the letter. And I delayed, I procrastinate, right? I always take my life for granted, honestly, which is terrible. But what happened was 22nd of December, I remembered, you know why? Kotong. 22nd of December, I had a meeting in the morning. In the afternoon, my schedule was full. 11:30, first meeting got cancelled. 2 to 3 got cancelled. 10 minutes later, 3 to 4 got cancelled. And in the next half an hour, 4 to 5 was cancelled. I said something. Doctor, I tried to find three doctors. The third doctor says, yes, you can come and see me this afternoon. So we did all the check, there was nothing, but he says that, why don't you go and do a CT scan? So I said, doctor, can I do it after Christmas? Christmas, New Year, no, I don't want to, you know, be having all these things. So he said, okay, fine, 4th of January, I went back to see him. I did a CT scan, results, you know, I tell you, I believe it's God's in control. The result, my left artery was clear, but the image for the right artery was blurred. And the doctor said, maybe I could have moved or coughed or whatever, and that's why the image was hurt. And he told me, do an angiogram. Okay? Actually, the day of the angiogram, I didn't even attend because I was busy at work. I went home on a Saturday. I had a prompting. I believe it's from God again. It says, go and call the doctor and make an appointment. So I called on Saturday morning, managed to get an appointment to do an angiogram on the 17th, which is on Monday. Right? I went on the angiogram, and then, lo and behold, 99% of my right artery was blocked. Maybe you can check, show the one. So if you look at this image, right, this is the angiogram that was done before a stent was put in. Okay? I made some dots. Okay, that was the portion in which there should be blood, but there was no blood flowing. And when the stent was put on the, you know where the part that you see stops, right? When the stent was put, okay, the blood started flowing through. And let me share with you, I was awake throughout the procedure, and during one occasion, the doctor even asked me this question. Are you feeling any pain in the chest? I said, no. Then he said, good, very good, keep it up. And he continued. After that, I was rolled into an ICU, which I didn't even know why. I asked a question, but when the doctor came and told me, he says, you are so lucky to be standing here because you could have just collapsed anytime. This is a testimony that God protected my life. So I'm standing here today to give glory to God. Thank you.
Can worship altar call, no need to speak already. After TG, what a powerful testimony. Grandpa, Grandma, Royston, and Shireen, next time you're when Tiffany pregnant that time, you want to control the birth, the timing, just call TG. Once he pray, the timing will be tuned. But what a powerful testimony, isn't it? Just last week, an FES president, the lawyer, Lim Kia Tong, 70 years old, working in the office, heart attack, died. You read it? Just died like that. No warning. On Sunday, some saw him giving the trophies to some football team championship, and on a weekday, in the morning. You never really know when your last day is, isn't it? I always tell people, if your time is not up, then your time is not up. It's a lot of feedback. Are we okay? Better? Thank you. TG's time is obviously not up. Otherwise, he shouldn't be here. And when our time is not up, then we better make sure that every living minute, hour, day, week, month, year is dedicated to serving the God we know, isn't it? If we think like that, I think, number one, when you hear things like that, DG, thank you for telling me this thing. Because after this, I think all my work in the office, when I told Silas that it's nothing. Whatever else that we have, and maybe people like Jun Yang, thanks for coming, guys. The young ones, JJ Lin is in the house again. When we hear other people's testimonies, then whatever we feel that we are suffering or dealing with, the magnitude of that thing drops. And today it's fantastic because yet at the same time, when we hear all these things, TG is the opposite of some of us. And today I want to talk about the fact that if you look at the book of Nehemiah, we don't remember God and how God sustains us. Maybe TG will remember today, but maybe, I hope not, but will TG remember 10 years down the road that God is the one who sustains us? And today, the message is titled, Remember. Just go down the slides, will you please? And I want you to just look at Nehemiah chapter 9. Today, I want to talk about remembering God. Silas preached a powerful message last week, and we, as you look at chapter 9, actually, I wanted to tell you guys to read chapter 9. I hope you guys have had a chance to read chapter 9. Chapter 9, if I'm not wrong, is the singular most lengthy prayer in the Bible. You look at chapter 9, it starts with the prayer. It is about verse 6 all the way to the next page. It finishes at verse 37. In fact, it is at verse 38. The singular longest, if not one of the longest prayer I can find in the Bible. The word remember is something I want to ask you, no pun intended, to remember to remember. But as we come before the Lord, last week, Silas talked about in Nehemiah chapter 8 that it was a time to rejoice. In fact, if you cast your eyes back to Nehemiah 8, chapter 8, for example, verse 10, Nehemiah told those people, this day is holy to the Lord. Nehemiah 8, chapter 8, verse 9, this day is holy to the Lord, your God, do not mourn or weep. For all the people have been weeping as they listened to the words of the Lord. Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So in chapter 8, last week, Silas talked about the fact that you're not supposed to, that was not the time to mourn. But guess what? Fast forward to chapter 9, and I don't think it's 10 years later, quite shortly after that, in chapter 9, guess what? This is a time whereby in chapter 9, on the 24th day of the same month, that same month, the Israelites gathered together, fasting and weeping, wearing sackcloth and putting dust on their heads. Those of Israel descent had separated themselves from all foreigners. They stood in their places, confessed the sins and the sins of their ancestors. They were going to repent, and this was a time of repentance. So I want to tell you there's a season to everything. Don't look at TG and therefore think that he comes here and then, you know, he was so emotional about it, rightly so, right? I mean, God touched him and God preserved his life. But there's also a time for rejoicing. So I want to tell you the next slide. There's a time and season for everything. There's a time to rejoice. There's a time to repent. And in chapter 8, when Silas talked about it last week, it was a time to rejoice, time to take out the cakes and the drinks and have a good time, which is why about 4 weeks ago, and I hope the people like Junyang will come the next time when we have a dinner. We had a dinner and all the children were having a good time. There's some wine and food and drinks. There's a time to celebrate, but there's also a time to repent. But guess what? Some of us don't know when to do what. And that's a problem. There's a time to rejoice in Nehemiah chapter 8, and there's a time to repent. And I want to say to us, get it right. Can you imagine if you go to someone's wake and then you say we're supposed to rejoice and they'll hee-hee-ha-ha, when actually you're just supposed to be there? You know, some of us don't know how to behave at the right appropriate moment. How do you know when to cry? How do you know even know when to speak? How do you know when to even just keep quiet and just don't say anything? Sometimes when you go for a wake, Joey, there's no need for you to say anything. What can you possibly say to someone who has lost the father? Or do you just go down there and sit down there and just sit there? And maybe the person needs something, you're going to help the person do something, move some chairs. Are you following me? I want to tell you this is a time and season for everything. So my first salvo for you today is there's a time and season for everything. Next slide. But when we talk about remembering, next slide please, Leon, there's a need to also remember that things need to cut both ways. Can I have the next slide please, Malcolm? Thank you. Remembering cuts both ways. And today I want you to look at the book of Nehemiah and take it from me in chapter 5, verse 19, which I talked about it before. It was Nehemiah telling God, remember me. Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 19, it says here, verse 19, let me check for you. Remember me with favor, O Lord, for all I've done for this people. And then in chapter 13, verse 22, it is Nehemiah telling God again. Let me just go to 13:22. 13:22 here, he says, remember me for this also, my God, and show mercy to me according to your great love. And then in chapter 13, verse 30, he sends, and this is the last line of the book, entire chapters in the book of Nehemiah. Verse 30 of chapter 13, remember me with favor, my God. So when we talk about remembering, there's a need to understand something. Number one, we can ask God to remember us. Hey, nothing wrong with that. It's okay, you know. Right now, wow, very energetic. Remember me, God. Energize me, please. God, give me favor with my bosses. Owen can go and say, God, give me my favor with my bosses. I need the HOD to approve this because I really think this is what we need. Give me the budget. It is okay. So, number one, understand that we ask God to remember you. It's fine. Yet, on the flip side, there's something that we do. We fail to remember. And that's where chapter 9, verse 17, today we want to talk about the fact that there's a need to also remember to remember. In verse 9, in chapter 9, verse 17, here the people of God, they refused to listen and they failed to remember the miracles you perform among them. Look with me to chapter 9, verse 16. It's a very long prayer. If one of the longest, if not the longest, here it is the prayers of the people of God. Here in chapter 9, verse 16, they say, but they, our ancestors, became arrogant and stiff-necked, and they did not obey your commands. They refused to listen, and they failed to remember the miracles you performed among them. They became stiff-necked, and in rebellion, appointed a leader in order to return to their slavery. But you are a forgiving God, gracious and compassionate. These people, they were arrogant and stiff-necked. They did not obey your commands. Those are our ancestors. What's the problem? People fail to remember. It's very human. So I must check on TG 10 years down the road. Remember the 99.9? Actually, you have no business still being here. I remember being with, was I not with you in Newton Hawker Center the morning of the thing? We were just having a tea after that. I sensed it was a bit nervous, and Wing and I, the two of us, went down there just to have a tea with him in the morning. After that, he went to Tan Tock Seng. I went to my office, which is opposite Tan Tock Seng. Do we remember God? Do we always remember what He does for us? Abraham Lincoln, 1863. Some of us were not born, sorry. All of us were not born at the time. Look at what he says in 1863. Go to the next slide, please. 1863, this is what Abraham Lincoln says. Abraham Lincoln says, next slide, we have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation ever has grown. This is 1863 America. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied, enriched, and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. That's the problem. Human beings. Sometimes when we get too successful, I mean, if that can apply to America in 1863, I've got a question for you. Tawe, can this prayer or this warning apply to Singapore in 2022? Answer, absolutely. We have been so, I mean, Singapore is so well developed. I mean, I don't know about you, whenever I come home from wherever, fly back in Changi, you know the Changi when you fly back and then the turn when you come back, remember that one? You're just simply, I feel damn shook. Because I'm coming back to the bastion of efficiency where things work. Have you been to a country where things don't work? So when I come back, I'm shocked. Then after I know, once I land, after that I'll go down there, then I'll go to, I'll just quickly rush, Karen knows my stuff, quickly rush through everything there, then I will go and eat my fei fei wonton mee. Then I am localized again. But we fail to remember God, and there's a problem with ingratitude. Next slide. An ingrate is someone then you don't want to be called. If Carissa, I say you're an ingrate, you take it from me, it's not a compliment. An ingrate is someone who is not grateful. An ingrate is someone who thinks they're self-important, there's arrogance, there's vanity, there's an unquenchable need for people to approve you. Have you got people who, hey, Shireen, do I look good today? Handsome, right? Handsome all? Say yes now. Say lah. Self-important, arrogant, vain, unquenchable need. Always looking for people to saka you and call you names. Good names. The need for approval. And that's exactly what verse 9, chapter 9, verse 16 talks about, right? But they, our ancestors, became arrogant and stiff-necked. So that's one hint down there. Narcissists, expecting special favors and feel no need to pay back or forward. Some people are narcissistic. I didn't know this, but I'm going to tell you what narcissism means. A brief history of narcissism. It's not my slides. The term narcissism originated from the Roman poet in the first century story of narcissism, Narcissus and Echo, and much later evolved into a highly specialized psychoanalytic term. In this myth, Narcissus is a handsome young man who spurned the advice, the advances of many potential lovers. So this guy was called Narcissus. He was a handsome young man. Maybe you think Silas about 25 years ago. I must praise him once in a while. Narcissus is a handsome young man who spurned the advances of many potential lovers, including the nymph Echo, named this way. Why is this? Now I know why the word Echo is Echo. This nymph Echo is named this way because she was cursed to only echo the sounds that others make. Okay, so you can imagine this person like Silas. Silas says to Echo, I love you. What does Echo say? I love you. No, Echo, I love you. Want to eat char kway teow? Yes, want to eat char kway teow. No wonder Silas don't like lah. After Narcissus rejects Echo, the gods punish him by making him fall in love with his own reflection in a pool. Narcissism. So he falls in love by looking at his own and say, wow, this guy, so good looking. Finding that the object of his love cannot love him back. Guess what? After a while, you love your own image, right? You keep looking at the thing, finding that the object loves cannot love him back, he pines away and he ultimately dies. That's narcissism for you. Narcissistic. And I didn't know this, but another thing about narcissistic is it is known as the God complex. I didn't know that. Narcissism, if you look at it, someone in the book, I think it's 1931, one of those, you know, the academia, they termed it as the God complex. Now, if you have a God complex, can I tell you that it's nothing good? You think that you are God. And when you think you are God, I can guarantee you, you won't need God. And therefore, you forget God what has done for you. Is that right? The problem always is if we think that we are able to replace God with ourselves, or we downplay or diminish what God can do for us. That's a problem. I'm going to introduce to you three things that I thought you want to carry away today as we bring an end to the discussion on Nehemiah chapter 9. The next slide, please. Number one, we have a problem with spiritual problems is spiritual dementia. The people forget the Lord in times of prosperity and well-being. If you have your Bibles, you open your Bibles, go with me to Deuteronomy 8, chapter 12 to 14, and I'll read it quickly for you. Go with me to Deuteronomy 8. I hope that some of you have Bibles, even the young friends have come across. Look at me at Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 12 to 14. I would like to start by reading verse 10. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land He has given you. Which is why we always tell people, before you even eat, thank God for the food, right? Hey, could keep doing it, because then you'll really be reminding yourself that the food on the table is God's blessing for you. Praise the Lord when you have eaten and are satisfied. Praise the Lord your God for the good land He's given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe His commands, His laws, and His decrees that I'm giving you this day. Verse 12, otherwise, if you forget, Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, when you get a good job, when you get your bonuses, when your bosses promote you, when you do all these things, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, what happens? Verse 14, your heart becomes proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. That's a warning. Verse 14 says, when you have all these things, isn't that what's happening in Singapore? How many of you now are richer than what you were 10 years ago? Raise your hands. Liars. How many of you poorer than what you were 10 years ago? Raise your hands. Now you're not lying. When you have all the things multiply, verse 14 is the warning. Then your heart will become proud. It is common. It is human. When everything is fine, when whatever investments you have go up, your properties go up in value, whatever you buy, everything goes up, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God. That's the Bible telling you. It is going to happen like that. Deuteronomy 8, verses 12 to 14. First problem, spiritual dementia, we forget. John Wesley says this. Next slide, please, Malcolm. When riches have increased, the essence of religion decreases in the same proportion. I say one more time. When riches have increased, when you get richer, the tendency is for the essence of religion, your faith, decreases in the same proportion. That's why we say what we say, right? It's much harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. It's the eye of the needle. Junyan, you know what I'm saying? When we say rich man, very hard to enter. JJ Lin, you know what I'm talking about? When you want to enter, a rich man enter kingdom of God, it's like an eye needle, very narrow. Why? You got everything you want, right? That's the first problem. Next problem, spiritual deafness. Tiabo, Yi Long. Next slide, please. 9:17. Chapter 9, verse 17, I ask you. Verse 16, I read, their ancestors became arrogant and stiff-necked, and they did not obey your commands, meaning God's commands. They refused to listen, failed to remember the miracles you performed among them. Refused to listen. Question. Deaf, right? Refused to listen, right? I got a question for you guys. Sabrina, is it by choice or by circumstance? Did they make a choice? When you say refuse to listen, if I go to children and say, I refuse to work with you, is it a choice or circumstance? Angela, I refuse your mooncake. Like a lousy mooncake, ask me to eat. I refuse. Choice or circumstances? Choice, right? You make a choice. The spiritual deafness here is a problem. If you, it's by circumstance, I got no problem with that. But you refuse. Refuse. There's some people here who want to go to cell group. They're in Tampines. Can you imagine if your cell leader say, I refuse to go to Tampines and meet? Or do you have a cell leader say, I stay in Jurong, I will go Tampines? What do you think? That cell group leader ought to be punished or praised? Verse 29. You warned them in order to turn them back to your law, but they became arrogant and disobeyed your commands. They sinned against your ordinances, verse 29, of which you say the person who obeys them will live by them. Stubbornly, they turned their backs on you, became stiff-necked, refused to listen. Question, choice or circumstance? Choice. It is spiritual deafness by choice. Why? Next slide, please. Why are they deaf? Because verse 16 tells you that they, our ancestors, became arrogant and stiff-necked. They are stubborn. They are arrogant. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, hear, O Lord, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your strength. That's the command of God, isn't it? But what is the starting point? It says, hear, O Israel. Can I submit to you that our faith is a listening faith? Hear. Hear, O God. Yep, hear, O God, hear. But once you hear, like what James, which I think Silas is about, right? Don't only hear the word and do nothing. Hear the word and do it. But to begin with, there's a need to hear, to listen. Don't be deaf. Hear, O God. The problem with us, some of us, is that we have pride. We are arrogant, we are stiff-necked, we think everything is due to our own being. Can I show you the next slide? The word pride, I try as best I can, P-R-I-D-E, I thought I'll give you some ways of remembering it. P stands for being pretentious. When you have something, you pretend. When we have nothing, you pretend. Some of us pretend. I know some people need to buy a certain car because they want to pretend to be richer than what? Actually, Silas and I, last time we had this problem. Huh, Silas? I know, Lao Hiao, this one. I tell you first, last time his car is that kind. But after a while, he and I now, our car are, how old are our cars? 8 years old, right? 6 years old, second hand. My car, 8 years old. After that, I still renew COE. There's nothing pretentious about me anymore. I was thinking, what a stupid thing to do. Buy such a nice car, go in there 10 minutes, drive and whatever, and then pay whatever. Have you checked the COE recently? That's being pretentious, right? Number one. Number two, there's rivalry. And I want to tell you that you must understand something about pride. Number one, the Christian teachers, my favorite author in C.S. Lewis, The Mere Christianity, a classic, he says here, according to Christian teachers, the essential, the utmost evil, the worst thing, Jun Yang, listen, is pride. Unchastity, anger, greed, drunkenness, and all that, they are mere flibbites in comparison. It is through pride that the devil became the devil. Because the devil thought that he can be better. I can be God. I also one. You understand? That's pride. That's the devil. Pride, it was true pride that the devil became the devil. Pride, listen, pride leads to every other vice. You start first with pride. So you want to, if today is how to go to hell, right? You know how to start? Be arrogant, full of pride. Pride leads to every other vice. It's the complete anti-God state of mind. That's pride. Look down. I look down. Rivalry. Listen to this, and I thought maybe you should know this. This is what he says. Now, what you want to get clear is that pride is essentially competitive. Rivalry. Pride is rivalry. While the other vices are only competitive by accident, but pride is deliberate. Pride gets no pleasure out of having something, only out of having more. So if I want to be prideful, right, actually, it's not helpful to me that everyone is equally rich. What, then there's no need to be pride. What is he very proud about? Sherwin, you're worth 2 million, I also 2 million. We're equally. There's nothing to be proud of. What I want to do is, I want to be 2.1. You only 2. Sorry, I was really picking on you because I've been picking on others. You just gave me a US, your skin a bit thick, I can tell. We say that people are proud of being rich or clever or good looking, but they are not. They are proud of being richer, cleverer, or better looking than others. So pride has got rivalry, you understand? It's competitive. Otherwise, no need pride. I mean, if Jun and Sharon say, it's okay, we're both pretty, there's no need to pride. Is that true? You're both pretty. Okay. If everyone else becomes equally rich or clever or good-looking, there will be nothing to be proud about. Understand? That's pride. It is the comparison that makes you proud. The pleasure of being above the rest. That's rivalry. I look down on Silas. 我看不起你, I thumb you. That's the devil. That's the enmity to God. In fact, other vices may sometimes bring people together. So, Penny, you got hope. You may find good fellowship and joke and friends among drunken people. But pride is always about enmity. It is enmity not only between man and man, but to God. When you're drunk, it's not a good thing, right? But when you're drunk, Sharon and June drink, they won't say drunk, I'm more drunk than you. No, I'm just happy drunk. There's no pride, you understand? But pride is different. Drunkenness is a vice, right? But compared to pride, pride is I am better than you. Unless you say I'm more drunk than you. Huh? Let's see who more drunk. Which is a stupid thing to do if you ask me. As long as you're proud, you cannot know God. A proud man is always looking down on things. Right? A proud man look where? A proud man is always looking down on things and people. And of course, as long as you are looking down on people, you cannot see something that's above you. Make sense? That's pride. When we are proud, we are looking down on people, right? Fu Sheng, I look down on you. You're no good fella. Don, your hair white already. You how old? I haven't white, you white. I look down on you. But when you keep looking down on people, you don't look up. And you know who's on top, right? That's fine. So number one, you have spiritual dementia. Number two, you are purposely deaf, spiritual deafness. Number three, and with that I end. Spiritual defiance. You defy the Lord. Look with me to 9:26. Chapter 9, verse 26. But they were disobedient, they rebelled, they rebelled against you, they turned their backs on your law. I tell you, turning your backs on God is not funny. It's the opposite of repentance. When you talk about repentance, what does it mean, Tiffany? Repent means that when you're walking this way, you turn back and you go back to God, right? That's repentance. So if Tiffany do something wrong, right? Turn back. It's not 360. Don't turn 360. Turn 360 means turn back and then come back here. No use, understand? Turn 180, stop. But turning back on God is, God, you're there. I turn back. That's, isn't it the opposite of repentance? You're turning back on God. Verse 26, they turn your backs on your law. Again, I ask you, choice or circumstance? They turn their backs. Hebrews 10:26, 10:27. If you have your Bibles, go with me to Hebrews 26:27. And I thought that would be a good warning for all of us. Go to your Bibles if you can. Hebrews 10:26-27. I found it and I'll read it for you. Then 26 reads, if we deliberately keep on sinning, if you deliberately keep on sinning after you've received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left. What is left? Only a fearful expectation of judgment and a raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejects the law of Moses died. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant sanctified them, and was insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, it is mine to avenge, I will repay. And again the Lord says, the Lord will judge his people. Verse 31, it is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I didn't time it, but today is communion. As we come before communion, may we ask God, if we are proud. Hey, look, everyone is proud, please. It's just proud in certain degree. Aren't you proud? Angela, you're not proud. In primary school, I was very proud. Actually, people say I'm still very proud. And then people check that I'm dialect, I'm Teochew, then they understand why I'm proud. I remember primary school teacher said, 你很骄傲啊, 你. I don't know, my sisters know. 你很骄傲啊, 你每年, 你每年, how to say, every year top, 你每年到你骄傲啊. I'm already very proud. I'm already telling you that every year I'm top. You understand? So sometimes when you're proud, it comes true. pride goes before a fall. Look with me at 16, 26, 28, 29. I won't show you the slide. 16, they say, but they, meaning our ancestors, are arrogant and stiff-necked. 16. You go to 26, it says here, but they were disobedient and rebelled against you. Verse 28, God warned them, but as soon as they were at rest, they again did what was evil. Verse 29, you warned them, but they also still became stiff-necked. These are just four instances of the ancestors who were arrogant and stiff-necked. As a result of that, they were always against what God wanted for them. But they. Yet at the same time, I have news for you. Despite all the rubbish that they did, look at 17. 17, God says to them, but you are a forgiving God. The word of God says, but you are a forgiving God, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. Therefore, you did not desert them. Verse 27, but when they were oppressed, they cried out to you. From heaven you heard them, and in your great compassion, you gave them deliverers who rescued them. So God came through again for them. In verse 28, when they cried out to you again, you heard from heaven, and in compassion, you delivered them time after time. Verse 31, but in your great mercy, verse 31, you did not put an end to them or abandon them, for you are a gracious and merciful God. Thank goodness I'm not God. I would have killed these people after the second time. This one is many times. Time after time. But how many of you, the children, keep misbehaving? Children not here. Children misbehave all the time. Anyone kill your child yet? Nearly. No wonder, almost heart attack. But we are God's children. You understand? He loves us. That's the mystery of grace. This is grace. But I need to warn us, Hebrews 10:26, if you deliberately continue to sin, judgment may come. And today, what a good time to just come before the Lord and get it right. Don't bring judgment on ourselves. Take away all the pride. You can be proud of God, but don't be having that pride, that pretentiousness, that rivalry, always want to compete with people. After a while, Silas and I never compete. Last time we were competing, your car bigger, my car bigger. Although we don't talk, we were competing. Because pride. But now, no. He lao pok car, I lao pok car. Both lao pok together. No looking down. Don't be the devilish one. Be a friend of God. Not his enemy. God, his grace abounds. Does that mean that from now on, you cannot sin? No. You do not want to deliberately sin. Do you still sin? Who doesn't sin anymore after become Christian? Angela, do you sin? I see all the time. Every time comes to sin. But it is whether you deliberately sin and you are arrogant and stiff-necked, you don't let God's grace come in and God change your life. That is going to make the difference. Let's pray. Even as I invite the musicians to come. I didn't plan this, but today is Lord's Communion. Pride. Oh, you come before the Lord. And again, I didn't plan this. Number one, I didn't plan the message today about pride. Which is why we have a problem with Pride Month. You know what's Pride Month? This LGBT agenda, Pride Month. The word pride, isn't that a problem? Me, Pride Month. It's pride. I didn't plan the message today to coincide with communion. Neither did I tell. After a while, we just tell Esther whatever song you want. But she chose the typical song we sing for Lord's Supper. Let's break bread together. Let us break bread together on our spin our head, do a handstand on our knees. When you go down on your knees, if you can, please, those knee got problem, don't do. After that, you go down your knees and suddenly you streak, your knee collapse. If you can, go down your knees. But when you go down your knees, what is that? You're surrendering, right? There's no pride. Only God could have engineered this. But as we come, can we come before the Lord? Take away the pride. Anything you need to get right with God, come before Him. He's a graceful God. But day so many times, but God came through. Each and every time. We sing this a couple of times. Can I invite you to stand? Grace, isn't it? It's by His grace that we're saved. It's not because you're good. Guys, none of us, we missed the mark, but it's because of grace. For those who are not believers, don't feel compelled to take this. My new friends have come, but just respect the occasion. I pray for you one day you'll partake of this, but as you partake of this, drink not judgment upon yourself, but just get it right. Come before the Lord. Strip yourself of the pride as you take the Lord's Supper and remember the throne of grace. And for those who are able to, can you just take your kneeling position before the Lord? If you're ready, Father, thank you. Father, thank you that the Lord's Supper is an opportunity for us, even as we talk about today, to remember you. Father, we remember your grace. As we come before you, Lord, as we partake of the Lord's Supper, will you just peel off the first layer and get ready also the second layer? Father, thank you that even as we partake of this, remember the Lord. When you're ready, as you take the biscuit representing the body of Christ, as you take this, bring not judgment upon yourself, but partake of this with gladness. Thank you, Lord Jesus. When you're ready, please partake. Drink of the cup, the red liquid signifying the blood of Jesus. May the blood of Jesus cover you. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord heal you. The Lord heal all of us, physical, mental, spiritual illness. In Jesus' name. Please partake.
Great love for us. I just want to share this verse that I feel that the Lord wants to bless some of us here. It's in Romans chapter 8, verse 37. It said that, yet amid all these things that we are more than conquerors and gain a surpassing victory through Him who loved us. For I'm persuaded beyond doubt that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things impending and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I believe that this evening the Lord Jesus is inviting us to receive Him, to put your mic down and trust in Him again. So without anyone looking, I just want to encourage us, if you have things that you're holding on, I just want to encourage us to open your arms and palms as a gesture of surrender to the Lord. Today, Lord, we receive your love. It is your love that heals us and restores us again.
Jesus.
Father, as we come before you, today is a good time. Strip off your pride. If you have a problem in life, I want you to come forward. There's some people who are not feeling well. I got my sister going for whatever glaucoma thing. Come and bring your problem before the Lord and ask the Lord. Strip off your pride. God, I will seek, even in my illness, I will seek, even in my difficulties, to bring glory to your name. You don't give glory to God just when things are well, isn't it? A lot of us have difficult times. My friends who are injured from accident, I want you to think like that. Don't just give glory when things are fine. I mean, that's cheap. Give glory when things are tough. When the shit hits the fan, God, thank you. I want you to come. Will you come before the Lord and we're going to pray? Anyone, just come before the Lord. If you're ill, I want my sister to come forward. Penny, will you come forward? I want us to pray. There's some of us who are coughing or not well. Will you just come? Junyang, come again. There's nothing about being prayed for. Don't tell me I've been prayed before. Come again. We want to pray for something to happen. Will you just come? Come. And the rest of the leaders, can you get ready as the people come? Just come before the Lord. Anymore, just come forward. Thank you. Come. This is an acceptable time. Come. Will you just come? I want Silas to lead some of the people, lady to lady. Will you come? Speak to the sister or brother, whatever they have. Can you just come? Can you just come? Anyone else? Come and pray for them. I think that's about it, right? Come. Silas, DJ, come. Let's pray for these people. Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus.
Sharon.
Jesus. Wonderful name. Jesus. Jesus. Most exalted names in Jesus. 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 Wonderful name.
Jesus. Thank you.
Most exalted name.
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 The rest of you, where you're standing, can I ask you to lift your palms? Even the posturing, it's a pride issue, isn't it? If you lift your hands before the Lord and your arms are open, you are signaling to God, God, you are God. I am not God. I am not narcissistic. I don't have a God complex, but God, I bring my problems before you. God, heal us. So Lord, all the problems in this world, they are worth it if it brings glory to you. So Father, we thank you, we bless you. I pray for my brother and sister, every physical impediment, heal them in the name of Jesus. And those who are suffering from spiritual dementia, spiritual amnesia, spiritual defiance, God, take us away from our pride. May we be proud only of you. Father, humble us so that we can serve you. So Lord, release anointing upon these children of yours, every single one of them. Lord, continue to protect them by the blood of the Lamb. Even as we've seen people like Tiffany who had an accident, but it's just scar-free. Father, we thank you. So Lord, we commit this church to you. May this church be a church that will be humble before you. that will not be stiff-necked, that will not be arrogant, but will do the work of this kingdom. Lord, bring many more people so that as they come, they know that your God, this God that we serve, was alive yesterday, today, and will be alive in the days to come. Father, we thank you, bless you, until we meet again next week. The blood of Jesus cover you. The Lord bless you so that your healing begins even today. We pray all this through the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. God bless you. Your business. Thank you. God bless you.